Attorney Karen Conte of Conte Law. And Karen, we have a lot to get to today. Let's start with the Andrew Cuomo story. And I'm a little confused about the difference between something that's just creepy and something that's criminal. How do you determine what would actually be something criminal that he did or was alleged to have done?
Yeah, it's, you know, words generally are not actionable unless they're threatening. So if he said something like, I'm going to sexually assault you, and then he moves towards you, that could be deemed to be a criminal assault. But generally speaking, any time you touch somebody and that touching is unwanted, and especially if it's sexual in nature, that can be a battery, and it can also be a sexual battery, which has a higher level of culpability. So the touching is really where that crosses the line from a civil wrong to a criminal wrong.
Now, the governor says that the facts are much different than what has been portrayed, that he never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. But this is more than a he said, she said, isn't it?
No, it is. There are 11 women who have come forward. And again, a lot of people think you can't prove a case with just two people present. But these types of things don't happen with an audience, and nor does rape. So these things can be prosecuted. These things can be proven. And when you have numbers of women who are saying he did the same thing and are corroborated with texts and different comments, and people have reported these things, and then there's retaliation based on it, yeah, these things can be proven. There's no question.
Let's talk about our ex-governor here, Rod Blagojevich, and the federal lawsuit he filed. What's your take on this?
I don't think it's going anywhere. A lot of states have laws that say that felons can't be, can't run for office. And then there's a layer of this too, that there he was impeached, and part of the impeachment process can entail some edict that that person cannot run for office again. So I think this is a grandstand. I'm not sure what he's hoping to gain. I'm not sure who would vote for him. But I think it's going nowhere from a legal standpoint.
In the news today, the story about HIPAA requirements in the workplace. Fill us in on this, Karen. What do we need to know?
Well, people have a misunderstanding about what HIPAA means. I heard a congresswoman several weeks ago say, tell the media I can't answer that because it's HIPAA. HIPAA only applies to medical providers, so hospitals and doctors. They have to keep your medical records private, but it doesn't apply to people. So I can ask you on the air, Bob, have you been vaccinated? You can ask me that. There's no HIPAA problem with that. Even among insurance companies, even in employment situations, I hear people say, my employer, I don't have to tell him because I have HIPAA rights. That's not true. It's only between and among medical providers, hospitals, and doctors.
And an employer can require you to get the vaccine, correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
And schools, and places of business where you go. I mean, it's very clear that the law provides that can happen. And again, as I've said before, it's more of a business decision, Bob. It's more whether or not that business thinks that they can keep good employees or get more customers in their bar or restaurant. It's not an issue of legal a legal bar to requiring that.
There's an interesting story in the world of entertainment. We talked about this the other day, and I'm wondering what you think about that Scarlett Johansson Disney case and what it might mean going forward, because a lot of big companies are going to be looking at this, entertainment companies and a lot of entertainers, right?
Right, yeah. She sued Disney basically saying that her contract required Disney to release this movie, The Black Widow, in theaters only, and she had a cut of what would be earned from the theaters. Well, because of COVID, it released it also streaming. So she is saying this is a breach of contract because it's going to diminish her proceeds from the movie. And, of course, they came back saying, we already gave you $20 million. Isn't that enough? Which is kind of offensive, because a contract is a contract. And if it says what she says it says, and again, these kinds of cases are very intense when it looks at the language of the contract. What does it require both parties to do? And if she wins this, I think it's it's a good precedent that, listen, you make a movie, you've got to stick with the rules. And yes, there's COVID, but they should have spoken with her and cut a new deal if that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it sounds like the Disney folks are pushing out this 20 million figure to try to win in the court of public opinion. And they're going to be tough to beat with their resources, aren't they?
Well, they are. And you know, everyone goes, you know, well, $20 million, isn't that enough for Scarlett? But what's enough for Disney? I mean, they've made $200 billion in the last 12 years. I mean, they should follow the contract. If they signed it, if they cut the deal, they negotiated it, she worked hard for her money, she should get what she's entitled to.
There's a very interesting lawsuit involving Walmart and the popular shoe Crocs. What's this all about?
Well, Crocs is suing, saying that Walmart and several other retailers are selling shoes that look like Crocs, and they're much less expensive, of course, and so they're claiming that there's some sort of trademark violation. And what's interesting about it is that these shoes are not called Crocs, they're called something else, but the argument is that because they look so much like Crocs, there's actual confusion among people who are buying these shoes, and as a result, that's a violation of a trade name and a trademark. So be interesting. We've seen some of these lawsuits with Converse, you know, that shoes that look like Converse, maybe they don't have that circle, that white circle that mm-hmm. distinguishes them, mm-hmm. but those lawsuits have been brought all the time, and basically there's kind of a survey that gets done to see if consumers are being actually confused by the similarity of the design.
Yeah, I would think it would be pretty easy for someone to be confused about it, although can't they point to the logo and say, well, look, this logo is different from the Crocs logo?
I'm sure they're going to be their main defense, is that there is no Crocs logo here.
It's Karen Cotty, and you can hear her on the radio Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. on WGN. Thank you, Karen. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.